This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm so glad to be with you tonight. So glad that you're here. Tonight I rejoice with you in the Lord, something we ought to do always, as Paul wrote the Philippians, at all times, often emphasized in the book of Psalms, rejoicing. No matter what, we can always rejoice in the Lord, trust in Him, at all times. We're in the book of Psalms tonight. If you want to open your Bibles with me, the book of Psalms, the 19th book, second of five books in the poetry department of the Bible, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon. Psalms is an excellent book, packed full of lessons that we can learn and apply to our lives today. What is a psalm? What's a song? Richard?
Praises.
Praises? A sacred song. A sacred song? Good. Yeah, a song, simply put, is a song. The Hebrews called this book Psalms Tehillim, which means songs of praise or hymns. The Greek word simply means psalms. Thus the name of the book, Psalms. So it's a book that contains inspired songs that would have been sung by God's people. Though they weren't solely sung, they would have been read and were often quoted many times, like we read about in the New Testament. Songs that we sing today as well as God's people, don't we? And most certainly we read and we quote so often. Psalms is inspired. We know that. In Luke 24, verses 44 and 45, the Lord speaking said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." The Lord himself identified the Psalms being scriptures, and we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. These are inspired songs. The book of Psalms is divided into five books or collections of psalms. Psalm 1 to 41 is the first book, 42 to 72 the second book, book 3, Psalm 73 to 89, book 4, Psalm 90 to 106, then 5, 107 to 150. Each book ends or is concluded with a doxology or praise. And there are many, many great benefits to studying the book of Psalms. Like what? Dad?
Well, since the Psalms magnify God in His Word, they instill great reverence and respect for the Lord and His Word.
Absolutely. Very good. Great benefit to study. We need more, don't we? Reverence for God. Psalms can help us with that. Fear for God is a theme often repeated in the book. We learn much about fear for the Lord. Absolutely. Another benefit.
Comfort.
Absolutely. Much comfort can be gleaned from the book of Psalms. So often, individuals go to the book of Psalms for comfort. Psalm 23, a very common psalm gone to and read at funerals. What else? Benefits. John?
There's several actual prayers there.
Absolutely. Very good. Many prayers. We have examples of prayers, expressions that can be used in prayers that we can use today. Good. Attitudes, emotions, things expressed in prayer that we can develop and apply to ourselves today. Same with praise. Praise is a great theme, one of the key subjects in the book of Psalms. And we can learn much about praise, praise for God, expressions of praise, attitudes of praise, examples of praise that we can apply to ourselves in praise to God today. Other benefits. Anything else? We learn history. Absolutely. Several psalms talk of Israel's history. Very good.
Learn how to be blessed.
Absolutely. Learn how to be blessed. It's a good study. The Blessed Man of Psalms. Psalm 1 deals with that. And many others. How to be blessed. Who the blessed man is. Characteristics. Things he does. And others as well. Men like wicked men and evil doers and the righteous and the just, the upright. Those men and their characteristics. What they do. They're contrasted so often. Which one are we? We will point out it talks of Christ, Jesus in the Psalms. We just learned that, Luke 24:44. The Lord Jesus Christ is written about in the Psalms. Prophecies concerning the King, the Savior to come, the Messiah. Prophecies that were fulfilled in the life of Christ. So we learn about Christ, our faith in Him, that He truly is. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, is solidified. Studying the book of Psalms, we know, as we just looked at, it's inspired. As the inspired Word of God, it's written for our learning, Romans 15:4. Example, 1 Corinthians 10:11. It's among the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Paul wrote Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Verse 16 and 17. Many great benefits. These psalms were written as men were undergoing different common human experiences. Times of sorrow, adversity, affliction. Times of rejoicing, thanksgiving, joy, praise, trust. Times of repentance or penitence, sorrow over sin or wrongdoing, all times that we as humans experience today. You can find a psalm for about any circumstance that we may find ourselves in today. Whatever you're going through, you can find a psalm that was written while the writer was in a similar circumstance. You may find expressions that were used or attitudes that were expressed that we can relate to in different circumstances. And these psalms express the feelings, the hearts of the writer as they experience these different things. Thus, they serve as excellent examples for us. And they give excellent expressions that we would do well to learn from, attitudes and such like. When we're going through sorrow or adversity, we do well to develop an attitude like David or another psalmist. When we sin, we ought to have the remorse and be penitent like David was. And others in Psalms. So we have much great material, examples, attitudes, hearts set forth that we would do well to apply and adopt in our lives today. Many great benefits. I'll read a couple of quotes from a couple of individuals I came across. The book comforts and sustains the hope of the Christian. An appropriate psalm can be found for almost every emotion of the human being, joy, sorrow, thanksgiving, etc. The Psalms express the sentiment of godly men in almost any condition in which men find themselves today. They are models of devotion. How many souls have fled to a psalm for help and strength? Another, the book of Psalms contains 150 songs of praise, prayers, and descriptions of every kind of human experience. Many great, great benefits to the studying of it. Authors. Was it just written by one author in particular, or several? Several, weren't there? Yeah, different writers in Psalms. Not just one. They were written, the Psalms were written over a period of hundreds of years, Moses being perhaps the earliest author. Others may have been written as late as the time of Israel's captivity in Babylon, or during their return. For example, Psalm 85, 126, 137. May allude to that. Psalms is a compilation of writings over different times, not just the work of one author at one specific time. But many of the Psalms would have been written during the United Kingdom, during David's time and Solomon, which we'll see as we go forward. 150 Psalms in total, 73 at least are attributed to who? David. Yeah, he was a very prominent writer of the Psalms. The Lord recognized that in Luke 20 and verse 42, when the Lord said, David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Absolutely. David wrote many psalms. He's known as the sweet psalmist, 2 Samuel 23:1. When we were studying 1 Chronicles, we came across one of the psalms that he wrote in verses 7 to 36. That can be found in Psalm 105. And Psalm 2 and Psalm 95, though not attributed to David in the book itself, like many of them are, they are attributed to David in the New Testament when they were quoted in Acts 4, 25 to 26 and Hebrews 4, 6 to 7. So David wrote many of them, at least 73 Psalms. 12 of them assigned to Asaph, Psalm 50, as well as Psalm 73 to 83. Asaph, he was a Levite, 1 Chronicles 6, verse 39. One of David's chief singers in 1 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 19 says, so the singers, Haman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. You can read several passages like that with him in it, like chapter 16 and verse 5. Asaph, the chief, this was after David, verse 4, appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, is mentioned. Asaph made a sound with cymbals, latter part of verse 5. Verse 7, on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So we have Asaph, one of the writers. Then you have 12 psalms attributed to the sons of Korah. Psalm 42, Psalm 44 to 49, 84, 85, 87, and 88. These were the Korahites or Korathites, depending where you read. They're known as that portion of the Kohathites that descended from Korah. And they were among the singers of David, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19. Two are assigned to Solomon, Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. Though he wrote many more psalms than just two or songs. Remember, in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 beginning, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of the Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Then we have Psalm 88, ascribed to Heman. He was of the Kohathites. He was a singer, 1 Chronicles 6:33. He's mentioned in 1 Chronicles 15. As well, in verses 16 to 19. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Haman, the son of Joel, one given to him. Then one to Ethan, Psalm 89. He was mentioned in 1 Kings 4, verse 31. One to Moses, Psalm 90. And then there is left 48 psalms at least that are anonymous. You can see how many were written during the time of the United Kingdom, as many were by David, two by Solomon, then several by Asaph and Korah and Heman, Ethan. Those would have been there during that time as well. Some psalms go together, but the majority of them are independent. They have a different subject from the psalm before it and after it. Thus, they're independent. Anything else you want to bring out about Psalms as far as introduction? The largest psalm is which one? 119. What's the shortest? Someone said it, I think. 117, two verses. Many key subjects, many prominent subjects that are repeated in the Psalms. We'll go through each one briefly, like praise. One of the greatest themes of the book is praise. Did you write down some Psalms that go with it? Praise. Jared? Psalm 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. That's a great expression, isn't it? I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. How much heart do you put into praising the Lord? Just a little bit, half of it, a lot of it? With my whole heart. May we be able to say that today. That phrase, with my whole heart, often found in the book of Psalms. What else? Anything you want to bring out about praise? Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Another phrase found several times in Psalms, at all times. There are some things that we need to be doing at all times. Here's one of them. I will bless the Lord at all times. Can we say that? That our attitude. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. Absolutely. That word praise occurs 160 times in the book of Psalms. Anything else? Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Many such psalms. Psalms of praise, emphasize praise. Each one of these subjects you could spend one or more classes on themselves. And it'd be good studies just to go through the book of Psalms several different times. One, just highlighting what the book says about praise. Another, what the book says about trust. Expressions of praise. Attitudes of praise. God is the object of our praise. And on it goes. Trust, another key theme, subject in the book. Great examples of trust. David often faced adversity. He was suffering, and throughout these circumstances and others, he always emphasized great trust in the Lord. Can we do the same? Do we do the same? That word trust occurs 50 times in the book of Psalms. Anything you want to bring out on trust? We talked about the blessed man mentioned. One of those is mentioned in verse 12 of Psalm 2. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Is that you? You put your trust in him? Psalm 4, verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. What's your trust in? Where have you put your trust? A lot of people have misplaced trust. Put your trust in the Lord. What else?
56:11.
What does that say?
In God, I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me.
Good. You have trust and fear contrasted. Fear of what flesh can do unto me. They're contrary one to the other. Fear for what flesh can do unto me shows a lack of trust in God. He says, in God I put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So at times, certainly we fear, and that can be natural, but at times fear expresses a lack of trust. You don't want to be afraid, get more trust in the Lord. Dad, you have something else? Good. Trust. Where's your trust?
Psalm 5:11 says, when all those who put their trust in thee rejoice in that trust.
Another key theme we'll look at, rejoicing. Those who rejoice and can rejoice are those who put their trust in God. Very good. It's easy to put your trust in the Lord when times are easy, but David and others often emphasize putting their trust in the Lord under difficult circumstances. John? Very good. Very good. That trust and prayer, pouring out your heart to Him, kind of they go together, absolutely. One who trusts in the Lord will do as the psalmist did. We'll pray to the Lord. We'll look to Him for deliverance, for help, for comfort, for hope, for all things, for His benefits. Psalm 103. Loving kindness, mentioned 21 times. Give us a psalm for loving kindness. Pete? Very good. Thanksgiving, often emphasized. Are we people of thanksgiving? We need to be. Thanksgiving mentioned 8 times, and then the word thanks mentioned 23 times in the book. Did something stand out to you about Thanksgiving? Psalm 136. Very good. Absolutely. We have much to be thankful for, don't we? Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. All His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is to receive our thanksgiving. Hope. Hope is emphasized 22 times in the book. Like where? Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Who's going to be strengthened? Whose heart will be strengthened? All ye that hope in the Lord. Where have you put your hope, by the way? Psalms emphasizes hope in the Lord. People have misplaced hope today. Where's your hope? The only place to put your hope in is in the Lord. What else? How about rejoicing? Rejoice occurs 55 times, rejoicing 6 times, happy 7 times, joy 19 times, glad 32 times. Rejoicing, often emphasized and repeated. Like in Psalm 5:11, we've mentioned already, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord's salvation, often emphasizes throughout the book. Those are good reasons to rejoice, aren't they? Are you in the Lord? Remember, without Christ, there is no hope. Paul wrote the Ephesians in chapter 2. And he wrote the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Are you in the Lord? Have you been baptized that you may be able to rejoice in the Lord? Galatians 3:27, Romans 6 and 4. Rejoicing. Then wicked and righteous, both often emphasized, often contrasted as well. Wicked occurs 90 times, wickedness 14 times, evil 40 times, ungodly 8 times, other expressions as well, or wicked in different terms, righteous as well, righteous 60 times, righteousness 71 times, upright 26 times. The word just occurs many times in others. What do you want to bring out about the wicked? Very good. Are the wicked, how are they looked upon in the book of Psalms? In a good way or a bad way? Very bad, yes. The wicked are hated by God. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Destruction is coming to the wicked, often emphasized. John, you had your hand up? Very good. That's a lesson you learn in Psalms, not to be envious of the wicked, the evildoers, because they will soon be cut off. You learn the fate of the wicked. We don't want to be wicked. We don't want to be cut off. And don't be envious of them. That's happened. There's examples in the Bible, others in Psalms as well, of some who deal with that, being envious of the wicked, seeing though they are wicked, they prosper. All that they have, don't be envious of that, for their fate is being cut off. What about the righteous? What do you want to bring out? Yes, the Lord will bless the righteous. The blessed man of Psalms is a righteous man. Anything else? Very good. That's a good example of how the righteous, their characteristics, their mouth in this case, we learn about. What does your mouth speak of? Do you have the mouth of a righteous person? We can learn about being righteous in the book of Psalms. Righteous and wicked often contrasted. They are in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Contrasted with the ungodly. That's just one example. Righteous and wicked specifically are mentioned together in the same verse 25 times in the book. Psalm 7, verse 11. We've looked at God judgeth the righteous. God is angry with the wicked every day. 11, verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. We don't want to be wicked. So we learn as well about the wicked man and who he is, his characteristics, what he does. And that teaches us to stay away from that. Don't do those things. Don't be like the wicked. We understand God hates that. He's angry. We learn about God, how he feels about that. Psalm 37 is a good example. Throughout the whole psalm, the righteous and wicked are contrasted. God is often emphasized. God, his name, is mentioned 440 times in the book of Psalms. Many other as well, like Lord and the name of the Lord and King, Savior, different names for God mentioned. What do you learn about God in the book of Psalms? Many things. Give us one.
Shall I come come, when shall I come and appear before God?
Good. God is living. Do you have that attitude toward God? What else? I've learned so many things about God, his attributes, his attitudes, his characteristics. We learn that he's the giver of salvation, the giver of blessings, benefits. He's the object of worship, praise, prayer. He's the creator. He's magnified, we mentioned how great he is, worthy of praise. Many things. God's word referenced hundreds of times in the book of Psalms and the different ways, like the word of the Lord, commandments, statutes, judgments, law, testimonies. Psalm 19 is a good example. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. They're right, rejoicing the heart, pure, enlightening the eyes, clean, enduring forever, true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. They warn by them as thy servant warned. In keeping of them there is great reward. We learn so much about the word of God, its characteristics, its value, what it does. We learn true love for it. Psalmist said 119, oh, how love I thy law. Great love for it is expressed in the book of Psalms that we need to develop in our life. Fear of the Lord is often emphasized. Give me a place. Very good. Fear for God. We learn about that so much in the book of Psalms. Be a good study. Fear the Lord in the book of Psalms. Prayer mentioned 34 times. Good examples of prayer for us today. The heart often emphasized 123 times. We learn from Psalms the kind of heart that we need and the kind of heart we don't need. That phrase, whole heart or with my whole heart, often emphasized like in 9:1, 111:1, 119:2, 10:34, 58:69, 145, 138:1, many places. Suffering, often emphasized. Psalm 102 is a good example of that. Mercy, mercy mentioned 100 times. Merciful 18 times. Mercy 17 times. The Lord's mercy, God's mercy, often emphasized. We mentioned blessed, often emphasized as well. In the house of the Lord, many different places as well. Good attitudes towards the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you have that attitude? Are you glad? Today, the house of the Lord is the church. Types of psalms, several different types of psalms. Psalms of instruction or didactic psalms. These are psalms that teach us moral lessons. Several are listed. Give us a lesson you learned from the book of Psalms. Who's got one? Mom, you got one? Absolutely. Absolutely. The way of the ungodly shall perish. We learn the righteous, the Lord will bless. Two different people, two different fates. Which one are we? What else? Dad?
The law of the Lord is perfect. Psalm 19:7.
The law of the Lord is perfect. Absolutely. We learn the way of God is perfect as well. In Psalms, we learn about conversion. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's the law of the Lord that converts the soul. What else? Absolutely. Very good. He purposed that he wouldn't transgress with his mouth, didn't he? How about us? Can we say that? There are things we need to purpose in our heart to do and not to do. We learn about companionship, the attitude we ought to have toward wicked, God's attitude toward wicked, like Psalm 1, not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 15, Psalm 101, 119:63, all good passages that go along with that. Many, many lessons we could learn. There are historical psalms that review some of Israel's history, messianic psalms that look forward to, prophesy of Christ. Penitential psalms. Psalms expressing sorrow, remorse, penitence over sin. Psalm 51 is a classic example. What do you learn from these? Absolutely. Very good. David did, didn't he? After he had sinned with Bathsheba, we studied that during his reign as king in the United Kingdom. And David is a great example of penitence, one who was sorrowful, remorseful for his sin. He illustrates a broken and a contrite heart. And that's the person, that's the heart that God is nigh to. Unfortunately, many people don't have that kind of heart. They don't have the right attitude towards sin. They aren't ashamed of sin. They're remorseful for it. They don't ever acknowledge or confess it. They will never say, I have sinned. That's the wrong attitude, wrong heart. They don't repent of their sin. We do well to learn from David, to learn a broken and a contrite heart for our sin. Anything else you want to bring out on that? Psalms of afflictions, many of those. And there are many great expressions in the book of Psalms. Expressions that reveal the hearts of the writers, their attitudes. But as for me, I will come into thy house, in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. I will praise thee, Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all my marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Each one of these. And there are many more. These are ones that just stood out to me as I read the book. That we need in our hearts and on our tongues. Great expressions. Psalms in the New Testament. Psalms is quoted in the New Testament more than any other book. More than 100 times. One source says 116 times is the book of Psalms referenced in the New Testament. Give us an example. John? That's a good one. Yes. And applied to Christ. That's one way that we know certain psalms are messianic and referring to Christ, because like Psalm 2 and others, they are applied to Christ in the New Testament. Psalm 2 is also applied to Christ in Acts 13, verse 33, and others. I heard, Paulette, did you mention one? Good. Yes. Hebrews chapter 1, really the book of Hebrews is a great example, as many, many quotations from the book of Psalms in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1 alone, there are several, like Psalm 2:7, Psalm 89:27, Psalm 97:7, Psalm 104:4, 45:6-7, 102:25-27, 110:1, 103:20, all referenced in Hebrews chapter 1. Heavily quoted. That'd be a good study as well, just to look at all the different quotations of Psalms in the New Testament. Many are in the book of Acts, which we've been studying. Jesus in the Psalms, we learned that there are things written in the Psalms concerning Christ, pointed out by himself, Luke 24, 44. Psalms depicts the life of Christ, his teaching, his crucifixion, his death, resurrection, ascension, reign, and more. I have some messianic psalms listed and other examples for your benefit. It'd make a good study as well. Jesus in the Psalms. Many of these psalms are sung today. We sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Did you come up with some? Good. Psalm 23. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, number 2, comes from Psalm 148. How great thou art, number 5, from Psalm 86. We go on and on. King Most High, number 38, comes from Psalm 717. To God be the glory, Psalm 29, 1-2. And Psalms 19, 24, 51, 136, 104, 119, 106, 113, 25, 148, 145, and 118, all specific psalms that we sing in our songbook today as well. Hopefully that overview of Psalms is beneficial. Excellent book, so many lessons from it. A lot you could cover in the book. Many classes, many sermons have been and need to be taught and preached on the book, different aspects of it. Anything else you want to bring out from the book of Psalms? It's a psalm for about any circumstance man may find himself in. We've alluded to excellent examples of prayer and praise we can use today. Many benefits. And may we be able to say to the psalmist, "Oh, how love I thy law." Thank you for being here, for your participation. Material in the rack for Sunday and Wednesday. Be sure to pick that up.